This is an interview with Connie McCready. This is tape 20, she said, too. We were just talking about the possibility that you could resign, not run for election as mayor, and then Ivan C. could take the mayor's post under the, and under the right conditions, move into the 2 years remaining. You could move into the 2 years remaining on the commission post that Ivan C. vacated.
Yeah, I read that in one of those articles or editorials, and that's out of the whole cloth. I had never heard anything of that sort, and Ivan C. sure as the devil never approached me with any suggestion of that kind. And if he had, I would certainly never have touched it, because I really believe that Frank Ivan C. would have been a bad mayor and bad for the city. And so that was that basic premise. I wouldn't do something to enhance my position. I'm sure he would have done it if I'd if I'd approached him, and he may have. Well, I don't know where the the papers got the ideas. Folks are always experts on everything, you know.
Well, maybe you could tell me a little bit about how they did select. The person, or you did select, you the council selected the position, the person to fill your position on the council. You started out, I heard, with 50 candidates, and then that was narrowed down to a six-man field. They all happened to be Democrats. Douglas Capps, who was suggested by Schwab, and he was a Goldschmidt aide. State Representative Jim Crest was suggested
Labor
by you
guy.
And Ivan C.
I read that. I've forgotten that. I liked Jim, but I didn't. There were people that I think would have
Mike Lindbergh was suggested by you, and he was the director of the city's Office of Planning and Development, as you've already talked about.
Oh, was he by then? I thought he was. Oh, that's right. He did. He left Public Works. He was my Public Works administrator.
And then Ronald Usher was suggested by Ivan C.
Oh, and he was the head of the fire union, and I would, he would have been a bad scene. He was a real manipulator.
And then there was Wiley Nick Barnett.
Oh, Nick Barnett. Yeah, nice
suggested
guy,
by
black
Jordan.
Guy. Real a nice guy, and he was, I think he ran the one of the departments of human resources.
Metropolitan Human Relations Commission.
Oh, that guy, yeah.
And then there was Bill Stevenson, the Jordan, also
good guy from North Portland.
A real estate broker, former
state labor commissioner.
Yeah, he's
been a state rep with me.
Oh, and a state rep too.
Yeah, he was a freshman when I was a freshman. He was a good guy.
So this is what it narrowed down to then, out of the original list of 50.
Yeah, I don't know if under the circumstances they didn't. Ed Whalen was a guy that I always thought was outstanding and had mentioned him. But there have been two or three vacancies, you know, along the lines, along the time since I got on the council. And I can't remember if whether or not he refused to allow his name to be considered this time or whether they voted the council eliminated him. I can't imagine anybody eliminating him. He would have been absolutely outstanding.
Really?
Yeah, just he and better even than Lindbergh. And Lindbergh is a very bright guy, but Lindbergh intimidates easy. He backs down if he's scared to death to vote against something they might lose a vote on. Well, that wouldn't bother Whalen. Whalen would do what he and he had the guts, and he was a good consensus builder. He would have been marvelous. So I can't imagine why he wasn't in that list, unless it's because he had told me that he would not be considered anymore.
Oh.
Which is very possible, of course, if he'd gone a time or two and they hadn't considered
him. I remember reading about him at one point. I'm not sure exactly
where
that was.
Well, I think I mentioned him. I'm not sure that we saw anything about him in the stuff before. I think I brought him up before.
Oh, is that right? Well, there was one thing that was mentioned here. It was a concept of blackballing possible, where any name would be dropped if the nominee is declared unacceptable by even one council member. Was that?
I don't remember that. I would think that that would be impractical, because I think you're going to run out of those very fast. Everybody could blackball someone that he or she hadn't suggested, and then we'd be right back to square one.
Well, that's what I was wondering.
I can't imagine how that could have worked.
Apparently, you narrowed the list down then to three, then from the six, Jim Crest, Bill Stevenson, and Mike Lindbergh.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
I think so.
And
I think they all three appeared before the council and made pitches and answered questions.
Out of those three, who would you have preferred?
Lindbergh.
And so you were supporting him all the way along then out of that list?
Mm-hmm.
And what about the rest of the people? How was Lindbergh selected out of that list?
Well, I think he probably, in response to the questions and the interviews, was hands down the best qualified, because he had worked as an executive assistant to Anderson. He had worked as administrator of Public Works, which is the largest bureau in the city and the heaviest expense and the most difficult. And then he had become a planning and development director. He had worlds of experience and had briefed all of us commissioners and mayors a number of times on various issues mm-hmm. that would have come up on in his bureaus.
So everybody was very familiar.
They all
with him.
Knew him very well, and the other two guys were really fine guys. Jim Crest and Stevenson, Bill Stevenson, were both great guys. They were just up against superior forces as far as experience. And they were all intelligent. I think he was just had the tops in mm-hmm. qualifications.
Apparently, Schwab was one of the first to come over to support him as well. And then Jordan was sort of the swing vote.
I don't remember.
Ivan C. supported Crest for a while, and but anyways, Lindbergh won 3-1, and
who voted against him?
It looks. I mean, I'm just guessing from what I have in the information here. It looks like
maybe
Ivan
Frank.
C.
Yeah,
would have supported
probably
Crest, and the three of you then supported Lindbergh and his position then.
Probably he'd be throwing that vote to Labor, you see.
He was sworn in on September 26th then. And would be filling that position, your position, until December 31st, 1980.
Mm-hmm.
So is there anything more that you could tell me about Mike Lindbergh in terms of profiling him? I mean, you've mentioned him.
I can't remember all the things I've said, but he was an outstanding young man, very bright. I was disappointed to discover that he didn't have the courage to make difficult votes in council. I didn't mean votes that went along with me. I didn't care how he went as long as he followed his own convictions. But when there'd be I could always tell what he was going to vote for, because however many people there were in the council chambers or however many letters came in, that was going to be that. And also, right. He wouldn't look me in the eye.
Oh, really?
He never
Gee.
Would look me in the eye when he was going to go the other way. He'd kind of look down and look off, and his conscience bothered him. And that disappointed me, because I knew he was competent. I knew his intelligence and his ability and his experience, so that I knew that he could make a very informed decision.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they were decisions where it could go either way or something, I could respect his vote. But
right.
not when he wasn't doing it from conviction. And that was the only thing that disappointed me about Mike. Bright, competent, he could do a heck of a job. He knew a lot about it. I was very fortunate to have him as my public works administrator, followed by Coles Mallory, who was even better to my surprise. He was just outstanding. And so I benefited from their efforts. But he was a good commissioner. It was just that was unfortunate. But He's kind of lazy. He's a real nice guy, but he can do a bang up job, but he'd rather be out fishing. And he does love to travel. Oh my goodness, he's taken these junkets to Europe and all over the place to examine something or other to do with the city, of course.
Right. How does he fit ideologically onto the
liberal
council? Liberal.
I was a little surprised at how liberal. He brought up for a sister city, what was it, in Nicaragua? Mm-hmm. What was it?
Right. I remember that.
That one with the real long. There's a song.
There is?
Such and such Nicaragua. It's euphonious. Bounces. It's a long name of the capital of the.
Oh, the capital.
What's the
capital? Managua.
Yeah, Managua, Nicaragua. There's a song.
Oh yeah, right.
Remember,
right.
But was it Managua that was our sister city?
I didn't think Managua was the sister city.
I think you're right.
I think the capital is Managua, but I.
Yeah, I don't. I think you're right. I think it is another city, but anyway. It was more liberal than I was a little surprised, but I still would have gone for him. He was that's his. As I said, God didn't give me all the answers, for heaven's sakes, and he could be right and I could be wrong on that stuff.
Well, maybe we could talk a little bit more about some of the issues you faced as mayor. We've talked about the Pioneer Square, and I'm
going to answer them all in words of one syllable, so we don't go into any more tapes.
Okay, I really don't have that many. I presume that Pioneer Square, was that part of the Cadillac Fairview project?
No.
It was separate, okay.
It was separate. Cadillac Fairview was a great big, four-block area to develop into shops and malls. And
$100 million redevelopment. And how was that evolving?
Oh, it was a horrific thing. They were from Canada, the people who were doing it from... not Montreal. What's the capital?
There's Toronto.
Toronto, uh-huh. Yeah.
And Quebec.
And
right.
It was a huge shopping complex, and they have skywalks across from block to block. But it turns out that what they wanted were not just skywalks, 25 feet wide. They were almost the width of the whole block. They were huge. And when that was brought to my attention, and people were objecting strenuously because it was going to make tunnels, dark tunnels of the streets, and the wind would go all the way down, and no windows. It were going to be kind of fortress-like, most of the places, because they wanted that wall for shopping, for display. If you have windows, you can't, the store use is not as great. They were really trying to get every inch out of that they could, and it was... would have been pretty ugly the way they initially designed it. So, but I was all for having the complex to help enliven, build up the downtown and get more business downtown, and because we were losing the battle of the flight to the suburbs. Lloyd Center was helping some, but the handwriting was pretty much on the wall, and I thought this would be a big help, and so did a lot of the business people. But it was going to require tearing down a historic landmark building, which was a shame, but it wasn't that much of an historic landmark, and we had a lot of those. And as far as having an economic development project, jobs for people and safety for people to be able to live downtown and walk to work and everything there, that offset the bad of the historic landmark thing. But the size of the development and the style, the design was bad. And we were losing people right and left on this, on the council. And I can... As a matter of fact, I was having a meeting with the Cadillac Fairview executives who had flown down from Toronto, and it was after work, and I was sitting there having this big hassle with them, trying to pound it into their heads that I was not going to be able to get this through the council. Mm-hmm. I could tell that we'd already had lost a vote or two, and I wasn't, people, the public was hammering, and I knew that I was not going to be able to keep, to get three solid votes, and I was trying to do something that would get me that third vote for them, and I was trying to talk them into narrowing those skywalks, and to open up, put some windows or doors on those sides, whole block long stretches on both sides of the street. Not only is ugly, but it's not safe for people from, you know, down at night. A terrible thing about walking through a tunnel, you uh-huh. know. And so I was working on them this night in this heavy meeting and saying, look, I'm with you. I want to save your project, but we're losing it if we don't. And the phone rings and my secretary comes in and she says, it's your husband. And I pick up the phone and he says, what's for dinner? And I thought I was going to kill the son of a gun. Dinner, schminner, here, the future of Portland is on the line here. And he's saying, what's for dinner? And I said, whatever you want, and slammed the phone down.
Oh. Oh, gee.
Because you can imagine.
Did that ever get resolved while you were mayor?
It died.
It died.
They wouldn't give any further, and I couldn't blame people for not supporting it with that kind of a structure.
But then it did get built.
Nope.
But not under Cadillac Fairview.
Cadillac Fairview never got built. There was the other thing that one there. it wasn't anywhere near as big.
Right.
It's what's it called, that place? It's between 6th and Broadway, isn't
Pioneer
it?
Pioneer Place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's just a one block, isn't it?
It's two blocks because then there's Saks Fifth Avenue on the other side with the office tower above it. And then then instead of the underground parking, they were able to negotiate a parking structure on the third block. And then the fourth block, I think, was supposed to be a hotel, but that got canceled.
Yeah, it died. But there are no skyways of the proportion.
No, there's one small skyway going between Saks Fifth Avenue and Pioneer Place.
But this thing was almost a block wide.
Gee.
I think it was 200 feet. Wow. And a normal block is 200 feet. So it was either just, can you imagine? And then and walls with no windows facing each other for a block. It was pretty grim. I couldn't blame the people who were opposing that. At first, I didn't believe it. I thought that they were just making up this big to-do and that anything that's to stop the development. And
they wanted the square footage. That's what they were going for.
They wanted the square footage and with that no windows would give them additional shop space and display space instead of displayed, but you'd think that they would settle for windows for display windows to draw people in, but they didn't. Of course, they would have to have entrances too, which would take up a lot of their display.
Right.
So at the end, they wouldn't get. And Cadillac Fairview dropped out of the thing themselves. That wasn't done by them, was it? I'm sure it wasn't.
It was another
outfit.
It was the group from the East Coast, I think. In the United States, they had done a big redevelopment of Baltimore.
That's right. See, this happened after I left.
Right.
But and we needed something like that. Mm-hmm. Boy, we needed it. I sure tried my darndest, but I couldn't convince them. If it didn't pan out in figures for them. There was no way I could convince them to go smaller. They, the heck with the most livable city, you know.
Well, then going on. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there were problems Also, with just the size of it too, wasn't there
it was gargantuan.
A lot of criticism over the size of it, and then the problems with condemnation.
Well, that's
private property within the zone.
Well, and there was a guy involved who was very involved in local government contributions and money and stuff. What was his name?
It was in the article, one of the articles.
Yeah, Ivan C. would never have voted for Beck. He gave Ivan C. his campaign headquarters.
Oh.
Is that telling you something?
There was also the issue of historic preservation.
Well, he owned that building.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think I remember reading an article saying, well, the project was fine as long as it left his building alone.
That's right. Uh-huh. That's right. Exactly how we felt. And the thing is, it was an old building. It was a fairly nice old building. It certainly wasn't anything very dramatic. We have many, many more. And as I told you a few minutes ago when I said there was a historic landmark, but it, I could have given and would have given up on the historic landmark in exchange for economic development and jobs and safety downtown. And Portland would have benefited more from having a development than from keeping that one landmark. Man. It wasn't that big of a landmark, but he played it big.
What about the problems of needing public assistance in the form of urban renewal bonds and increased property tax revenues from the construction of buildings? Was that a contentious issue?
Oh, the people who didn't understand what a tax increment and all those various things meant. No, that wasn't any big deal as far as I was concerned, because you figure what you're doing. You're buying economic development for the city, and if you go along that line, why, it makes sense to help something happen that wouldn't happen without it. I'm sure they got that with this new development.
What about the problem of finding major tenants to fill the?
As I recall, the hotel was the problem tenant, wasn't it?
Well,
it must have been, because that one died.
Right.
And for a large store, I don't think that was the problem, because, well, you see what happened. You see, by getting the
Saks Fifth Avenue.
Why? There wasn't any problem with getting major tenants, and then the little ones come bit by bit.
So, did the council actually vote it down?
No, I think what happened was I think they probably did, because the company, Cadillac Fairview, would not come in with a better. Smaller space. Are you falling down? Are you breaking your chair? Are you collapsing?
Caught underneath the table.
Because the skywalk or the skyway or whatever they called it, and the windowless. That was like two blocks worth of no windows, you see, on each side of the street.
Okay.
And with that solid tunnel overboard. It was above him. And I don't, I'm not even sure it ever came back. Maybe they pushed for it. We would have done whatever they asked, I'm sure. I mean, I would have put it back on the council agenda. But I know that I didn't get them to shrink their demands, and those people were hammering loud. And
were there other big issues or projects?
But I can't remember. Uh-huh. I told you how wild that period was.
I think I
must have averaged 2 to 3 hours sleep a night for months. And even when I'd go to bed, I'd lie there thinking about all the stuff that I hadn't been able to finish that day, and how was I going to do it the next.
One of the projects that Goldschmidt had in mind, which I'd mentioned earlier, I wonder whatever happened to that. There was another freeway project that was being planned in Northwest Portland. It was in an Interstate 505 proposal.
We did that, didn't we? Well, I know that we did something. It was...
Is that the extension that comes off of the 405 bridge, the three-mile bridge?
Well, yeah, from not the
into the industrial area.
Yeah, that's the freeway. When you come down on I-5 from Washington, there's to go west, there's a west exit there to Beaverton and all, and then it goes down through the industrial area.
Right.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's it.
Okay. Well, I was wondering if that was it or not, but anything else you can recall?
And I'm not sure that that was his baby. I think that was Anderson's suggestion in the first place, because I can remember Anderson was brought it in from Public Works. You see, he had and I wasn't sure. I had been sort of against it, I think, or I was at least I was listening to some quite articulate people who were arguing against it, and we drove over that way, my staff and I. We had lunch downtown and on the west side, in Northwest Portland, in a Chinese restaurant, and my fortune cookie said something about. It was a funny, was a natural to go for, I mean, to support the project that was coming up. We were going to vote that afternoon. Well, what we did is that at the lunchtime, we drove over and on the east side and the west side to see how these off-ramps would impact the neighborhood. People in the, it was a black community, were complaining that this was going to spew into their neighborhood. As a matter of fact, it didn't. We drove over there, and it still hasn't to this day. When the you go across that Fremont Bridge and you get off, but I think this was one of the ways you mentioned about getting here. The traffic is not bad there at all, and we drove around it, and so that I became convinced, and then I got this fortune cookie at lunch, and when it came up to continue the discussion on this, I said, well, I went over and I drove around and I looked everything over, and then I had lunch, and I said, Commissioner Anderson, I was going to oppose this, but under the circumstances, a power stronger than myself, and I read the fortune cookie, and then I said, I vote aye. And I thought they were gonna, and they broke up. Down there. I can't remember now what the message read, but it was support the support an important development today or something. I don't know what, but it was a natural.
What about some of the travels that you did as mayor? I know that you